We are going to learn Potaliya Sutta. I heard thus, at one time the Blessed One lived in Anguttarapa in a hamlet named Apana in the Vasa. Then the Blessed One put on robes in the morning and, taking bowl and robe, entered Apana for alms. After returning from the alms round, and after the meal was over, the Blessed One entered a forest stretch and sat at the root of a tree to spend the day. The householder Potaliya too, completely dressed and with an umbrella, walking and wandering for exercise, entered the forest stretch and approached the Blessed One, exchanged friendly greetings and stood on one side. Then the Blessed One addressed the householder, "Householder, there are seats. If you wish, sit." When this was said, the householder Potaliya thought the recluse Gautama addressed me as a householder, was angry and averse, and would not talk. For the second time, the Blessed One said, "Householder, there are seats. If you wish, sit." When this was said, the householder Potaliya thought the recluse Gautama addresses me as a householder, and was angry and averse, and would not talk. For the third time also, when Buddha is saying this one, then he was angry, and then Potaliya was telling, "It is not suitable that the recluse Gautama should address me as a householder." And Buddha said, "By your signs and attributes, you are a householder. Good Gautama, I have come to the end of all my actions and business. Whatever I had as wealth, grains, gold and silver is given to my sons, and I do not advise or blame them. I care only for my food and clothing. Thus I have come to the end of all my actions and business. Householder, you act ending of all actions and business is different from the ending of all actions and business in the Noble One's dispensation. Venerable Sir, it is good if the Blessed One teaches me the ending of all actions and business in the Noble One's dispensation." Then, householder, listen carefully, I will preach. Householder, there are 8 ways to end all actions and business in the Noble One's dispensation. What are 8? Householder, for the purpose of not destroying life, destruction done to life should be given. So when I was reading this one, then I understood that it is that, the monk in the village is saying, don't kill. Buddha is not saying in that sort of a meaning. What actually meant over here is that that if I want to go in the Eightfold Path, then I have to do this one, refrain from killing. And again he says, for the purpose of taking what is given, the taking the not given should be given. Again, because we need to go through the Eightfold Path, we have to do this one. Now you can see we have marked those two things, that killing and the stealing, in this diagram. Now I had a sort of a habit at night time, so I am going to do the meditation, and then I have some offer Buddha flowers and tea or something to the statue over there offering the Buddha, and then I meditate. I also have a tea for myself as well. I drink the tea and meditate. So when one day when I was actually offering Buddha these things, then the Sahampati Mahabrahma was there, and he said that you are stealing. Then I went and sat down on the chair that I am actually meditating, and I was thinking, how did I steal? I didn't steal anything that day. And then I sort of recalled the day before and then the whole week. And then I found that I have not stolen anything. And then I asked Sahampati Mahabrahma, how did I steal? Then he said that you have got this tea, drink it. So I had a couple of sips over there, and then I asked him again, and he said, "Now drink it completely." Then after drinking it, then he asked me, "Did you buy this tea or did someone has given it to you? I said, I bought it. Then, because we buy these tea leaves. And then he said, if you buy, then the stealing is there. I can explain you this one using an example. Now you are working, let's say you are working for the government, wherever you are working, it does not matter. So if you are working for the government, how does the government get money to pay you? From the tax. Is there anyone here and willingly and happily say, yes, President, or yes, Prime Minister, you take my money? There's no one. So they have put a rule over there. If you don't pay the tax, then we will put you on jail. So because of the fear, people are doing that one. So that is what is not given. So if you are part of that what is not given, then we are part of the stealing thing as well. Here we are actually talking about an Aryan sense, noble sense. If I ask you whether you kill animals, you would say that I don't. But then if I ask you whether you are, do these plants, flower pots and so on, then you say yes. So if you are doing that one, then you are actually digging. So then the little creatures underneath the earth, they die. Now, for that one, you always have some sort of, lullaby type thing. Or you are saying, I should know that there is an animal over there. So isn't that the Buddha said that five things should be completed for that thing? What is Buddha is talking about over there? Buddha is talking about if someone want to go in this, when you are going in this sansara, to what extent you must have done this karma so that you get the results of that karma, that bad effects. But what are we talking today? We are talking today is going on the eightfold path. You see, that is why we are giving up killing, stealing. So by going through the eightfold path, what you are going to achieve is the path and the fruits of these attainments, noble levels. And those paths and fruits don't have karma. So don't mix those two. These are like two railway lines, One is going to the Nibbana, the other one is going in the sansara. So they don't come and join. Here we are completely talking about going in the eightfold path and become a noble person, end in this sansara. So that's why we are giving up killing and stealing. Not because the monk in the temple is telling you. That's because you want to go through the eightfold path, we have to give up killing and stealing. So then the next one is, for the purpose of talking the truth, telling lies should be given now. So the line part is over here, marked over there. And then the fourth one, for the purpose of not slandering, slandering should be given now. So the slander has been marked over here. And then next one is for the purpose of not coveting and ungreed, coveting and greed should be given now. So the coveting and greed has been marked in the diagram. That's number 5. And then for the purpose of maintaining blameless non-aversion, blameful aversion should be given now. That is insult with anger. So insult with anger is written over here between feeling and the body type of misapprehension. And for the purpose of maintaining non-anger and non-malice, anger and malice should be given now. And anger and malice, that is associated with anger, is marked as the number 7 here. Krodhupayasa is the Pali word over there. And for the sake of non-conceit, conceit should be given now. So conceit has not been marked in the diagram, but we can say we have already marked them. Those 7 terms giving rise to the conceit, so they become the conceit itself. You see, the person killing, that person has got the conceit because that person is killing. And one example is, let us say, in a village, some people are frightened because another, thug or someone is coming from the another village and they are going to harm them. So then the thug in the in the village. So he is having this knife in his in the belt, and then he is saying, "I am not afraid of anyone. If someone comes, then I will kill that person and live. I am not frightened." So because of killing that, he got the conceit. And then the person who is stealing has got the conceit because of stealing. I saw that in Sri Lanka, that on a Sunday afternoon, nearby the road, that three people are talking to each other, and two of them took a long breath and said that tomorrow morning we have to go to work in Colombo, capital city. The other third person was looking at these two persons, and then he smiled and said, "You go and bring those things, then I will steal. You know that I am not, you know, sighing and sort of thing. I will steal and live." So because that person is stealing, then he got the conceit for that one. And then the person who is lying, he got the conceit because of lying. I saw a couple in Sri Lanka, they both are telling lies. You know, husband and wife, you separate them and ask the question, they give the same answer. You know, they don't have a house, they pretend that they have a house. They don't have a car, they pretend they have a car. So they think that that's the way to live. So all these seven things we marked over here, they become conceit. So then Buddha said, these stated in short, conduce to the ending of all actions and business in the dispensation of the noble ones. Venerable sir, may the blessed one explain out of compassion these eight things that conduce to the ending of actions and business in the noble one's dispensation. Householder, listen and attend carefully, I will tell. It was said, for the purpose of not destroying life, living things, destruction should be given up. Why was it said? Householder, the noble disciple reflects, on account of whatever bonds, I was a destroyer of living things, I have fallen to the method of destroying those bonds. If I destroy living things, myself will blame me. When the wise ones know about it, they will blame me. After death, a decrease should be expected. These are the bonds and obstructions for the destruction of living things. Desire, trouble, and displeasure may arise to those destroying living things. They are not to those that abstain from destroying life. If it was said, for the purpose of not destroying living things, destroying life should be given up, it was said on account of this. So, now read that paragraph carefully. It says that on account of whatever bonds I was destroyer of living things, I have fallen to the method of destroying those bonds. What is the method? Method is the Eightfold Path. So since I want to go through the Eightfold Path, I am actually giving up this one, killing. So you can see the right view. From the right view, we come to the right thought. Thought of renunciation, thought of non-malevolence, thought of non-harm. So the thought of non-malevolence part is the non-hate path. So it is in the hate part that we do have killing. Since I am following through the non-hate path, I will be giving up killing. And it also says over here that if I do this killing, then myself will blame. And wise ones also blame me. So for the part that wise ones will blame me, in Sri Lanka, I went to a rural area. I may be sort of 10 or 12 years old. So I was near the gate of that house. And then that little boy in that house, maybe 4 or 5 years old, he was there with me nearby the gate. And then someone is going in the street. Then straight away monk came back running from the house and lift up the boy and went inside the house. Then I look at that man, and then I went inside and asked that monk, "Why did you do that?" And then she said, "That was the butcher." You see, those days, this in Sri Lanka, early days, that people are not, not showing their children to the butcher. Mom is wise, isn't it? You know, when the child saw an engineer constructing a bridge, then he wanted to be an engineer. When he went to the doctor, he wanted to be a doctor. So mom is afraid now, if this child see the butcher, then he will become a butcher. So she want to prevent it. So butcher is also aware those days that I am a person that should not be seen by people. You know, even a mother is not showing their little children to me as well. And wherever they are going, and people are labeling them, you know, this is the butcher, and that sort of scenario. So that is these wise sons blame him. And now when he is at home, then he himself blame him, because that this discourse says that you can also recall your past births. And when we did this one in Sri Lanka, that in one place in Panadura, that someone recalled, a lady recalled her past life. And then she found that her father in the past life was a butcher. So she is actually carrying a plate of meat to give to the father to eat. And then father is saying, daughter, I can't eat this one. Give me some porridge or something. Because you see that night time, that killing thing is sort of stopped. And then he has got some sort of a calm mind. Now when he see that, you know, meat, then he remember when you are slaughtering a cow, then cow is, you know, crying and sort of scenario. So that their pain is sort of induced to you when you actually see that one. So if you look at the porridge, then you don't get that sort of feeling. So he can't consume what he had killed. And then when the butcher is going to sleep, then he get this, nightmare sort of thing, because then he see that the cows are coming to hit him. You know, when you are slaughtering a cow, it is also, you know, struggling here and there, and then you are also frightened because it might hit me. So what they do, they take quite a lot of alcohol and then sleep. So you can see you yourself blame when you are doing this killing. And then Buddha says, after death, a decrease should be expected. We will be born in hell by doing this killing, stealing scenario. And these are the bonds and destructions, obstructions for the destruction of living things. So desire, trouble and displeasure may arise to those destroying living things. Now, if you are doing killing and sort of thing, then normally you will be born in hell, animal realm, plane of departure sort of scenario. And by any chance, if you were to be born in a human world, then you will be born in places where they are putting bombs and so on. You know, the killing is there. They are saying, you know, I'm trying to live a good life, but the people in my village are so bad, they are killing, chopping and so on. So the person who is not doing these killing things, they will not be born in such places. So that is what it says. If it was said for the purpose of not destroying living things, destroying life should be given up, it was said on account of this. And then it says, the second one, it was said for the purpose of taking what is given, taking the not given should be given up. Why was it said so? Householder, the noble disciple reflects, on account of certain bonds I took, what was not given, I have fallen to the method of destroying those bonds. If I take the not given, myself will blame me. When the wise ones know about it, they will blame me. After death, a decrease should be expected. These are the bonds and obstructions for the taking the not given. Desire, trouble and displeasure may arise to those taking the not given. They are not for those abstain from taking what is not given. If it was said for the purpose of taking what is given, taking the not given should be given up, it was said on account of this. We are following through the Eightfold Path. So right thought to right to you to right thought. So in the right thought, we have thought of renunciation. So that is non-greed path. It is in the greed path that we do have stealing. Therefore, we should be giving up the stealing. Otherwise, we can't follow eightfold path. That is the purpose. So, have you seen robbers? I have seen in one instance in a village that police jeep break the vehicle because a dog is crossing the street, and there was a robber inside that house. And then, you know, on the back door, he was running to the forest area. And they are sort of frightened. Those days, you know, the kings are sort of punishing robbers, you know, in front of all the others. And another robber is looking at it, you know, if they get hold of me, it will be the same. I will be subject to the same thing. So they have this fear. So the next one, it says, it was said for the purpose of telling the truth. Telling the lies should be given up. Why was it said so? Householder, the noble disciple, reflects, on account of whatever bonds I was telling lies, I have fallen to the method of destroying those bonds. If I tell lies, myself will blame me. When the wise ones know about it, they will blame me. After death, a decree should be expected. These are the bonds and obstructions for telling lies. Desires, troubles, and displeasure may arise to those telling lies. They are not for those that abstain from telling lies. If it was said for the purpose of telling the truth, telling lies should be given up. It was said on account of this. So you can see that we are following to the eightfold path, right view to right thought. So we are going to the thought of renunciation, that is non-greed path. It is in the greed path that we do have lying. So we should be giving up lying. And it was said for the purpose of not slandering. Slandering should be given up. Why was it said so? Householder, the noble disciple, reflects, on account of whatever bonds I was slandering, I have fallen to the method of destroying those bonds. If I slander myself, will blame me. When the wise know about it, they will blame me. After death, a decree should be expected. These are the bonds and obstructions for slandering. Desire, troubles, and displeasure may arise to those slandering. They are not to those that abstain from slandering. If it was said for the purpose of not slandering, it should be given up. It was said on account of this. So we can see this slander is in the hate path. So we are following through the eightfold path, right view to right thought, and we are going to the thought of non-malevolence, non-hate path. So this one is in the hate path, so I have to give up that one. Remember this disparaging we discussed on the first day, that you are separating your friend's friend. So that is mental. Now this one is slander. Over here you are going to create the dispute between these people. So this is verbal. But don't take it is just as verbal thing itself. I'll give you an example. One of the previous Buddha's time, there were two monks. They are so friendly. And then one of the divine beings saw this one, and then that one wanted to separate them. You know, the thoughts that is coming to divine beings as well, isn't it? So then what this divine being did, when one monk is going to fetch the water, this one took a form of a woman and entered the other monk's room. So the other monk is, divine beings can do that one. They can take the other forms as well. So then the other monk is looking at, you know, when I'm going to fetch water, this person is now living with a woman. So he stopped talking to that person, the other monk. So now, after a long time, that divine being died as well. And then in the Gautama Buddha's time, that this divine being, you know, became a monk, and then he became an arahant. So night time, villagers see that this arahant's room, a woman is entering, and then they go and actually look at, and no one is there. That is the karma that he did to separate the other two. So and now that divine being, did he actually utter a speech to separate them? He didn't. You know, he actually produced a woman's body and do that one. So don't take it just merely a word. whatever separation is included in the slander part over here. So, and then it was said, for the purpose of non-greed and not coveting. Greed and coveting should be given up. Why was it said? Householder, the noble disciple reflects, on account of whatever bonds I was greedy and coveting, I have fallen to the method of destroying those bonds. If I become greedy and covet, myself will blame me. When the wise know about it, they will blame me. After death, a decrease should be expected. These are the bonds and obstructions for greed and coveting. Desire, trouble, and displeasure may arise to those greedy and coveting. They are not for those that abstain from greed and coveting. If it was said for the purpose of non-greed and not coveting, greed and coveting should be given up. It was said on account of this. So greed and coveting and greed over marked over here. Now you can see that this coveting and greed is in the greed part. So I am following through the non-greed part. That is, I am coming from right view to right thought. That thought of renunciation is non-greed path. So I should be giving up coveting and greed. And then it was said for the purpose of maintaining blameless non-aversion. Blameful aversion should be given up. Why was it said so? Householder, the noble disciple reflects, on account of whatever bonds I was maintaining blameful aversion, I have fallen to the method of destroying those bonds. If I maintain blameful aversion, myself will blame me. When the wise ones know about it, they will blame me. After death, a decrease should be expected. These are the bonds and obstructions for blameful aversion. Desire, trouble, and displeasure may arise to those maintaining blameful aversion. They are not for those that abstain from blameful aversion. If it was said for the purpose of maintaining blameless non-aversion, blameful aversion should be given up. It was said on account of this one. So that this is the insult with the anger we are talking about. And previously I said that which path that killing, stealing are there, whether it's a greed, hate, or delusion. But this one is in all three paths, greed, hate, and delusion. So we should be giving up that one. And then it says, it was said for the purpose of maintaining non-anger and non-malice, anger and malice should be given up. Why was it said so? Householder, the noble disciple reflects, on account of whatever bonds I was maintaining anger and malice, and I have fallen to the method of destroying those bonds. And if I maintain anger and malice, myself will blame me. When the wise ones know about it, they will blame me. After death, decrease should be expected. These are the bonds and obstructions for anger and malice. Desire, trouble, and displeasure may arise to those maintaining anger and malice. They are not for those that abstain from anger and malice. If it was said for the purpose of maintaining non-anger and non-malice, anger and malice should be given up. It was said on account of this. So the anger, you can see, it is in the hate path. So I am following through the eightfold path, right view to right thought. So I am going through the thought of non-malevolence, that is the note, that the non-hate path. So therefore I should be giving up things that are in the hate path. So that's number 7 should be removed. It was said for the purpose of non-conceit, conceit should be given up. Why was it said so? Householder, the noble disciple reflects, on account of whatever bonds I was conceited, I have fallen to the method of destroying those bonds. If I be conceited, myself will blame me. When the wise ones know about it, they will blame me. After death, a decrease should be expected. These are the bonds and obstructions for conceit. Desires, trouble, and displeasure may arise to those conceited. They are not for those without conceit. If it was said for the purpose of non-conceit, conceit should be given up. It was said on account of this. So, the Pattanapali 3 says that because of the conceit, we get the existence. Because of the conceit, we get the ignorance. So, remember that we have the bond of ignorance over here in the consciousness path. So, then the from the conceit you get the bond of ignorance, then you are going to the bab of delusion. So when you are going to the bab of delusion, then it become a sort of a the conceit become a bab itself as well. On the other hand, you can see conceit is the delusion path, and the other one says conceit is in conceit. Because of the conceit, you get the existence. The existence is there in the contact path. So therefore, you can see this path is of the hate path. So you can see conceit is belonging to the hate path as well as the delusion path. So I should be giving up that one. Householder, these are the eight things that stated in short and explained for the ending of business and actions in the dispensation of the noble ones. Yet with this much only, actions and business will not come to the end in the noble ones dispensation. So what is Buddha is saying here? You know, this is a vehicle. You know, this vehicle has got two more wheels added, killing and stealing added to this one. So Buddha is saying that when you get rid of these things, this vehicle will stop. Our problem is this vehicle is always running. You know, killing, stealing, lying, you know, or harsh speech, so it is running. So if you remove this one, Buddha is saying that this one will stop. But it does not come to complete stop. You see that in front of a red light, your vehicle wheels are not rotating, but your engine is still running. So your verbal formations ceased, physical action ceased, but the mental actions are still there. Then the householder is asking, Venerable Sir, how does the complete ending of actions and business come about in the dispensation of the noble ones? Sir, it would be for my good if the Blessed One explained the complete ending of actions and business in the noble ones dispensation. And then Buddha said, listen carefully, householder, I will tell. Householder, a clever butcher or his apprentices would throw a fleshless, blood-stained bone, devoid of any flesh, to a hungry dog waiting near a slaughterhouse. Householder, would that dog, licking that blood-stained, fleshless bone, get over his hunger? No, Venerable Sir, it wouldn't. What is the reason? That dog licking the blood-stained, fleshless bone would gain fatigue and weariness only. In the same manner, the noble disciple reflects, the Blessed One has said that sensual desires are comparable to a bone. It brings much unpleasantness, much trouble. The danger here is much. This should be seen with equanimity and right wisdom as it really is. And the various interests should be turned out. A single interest and attachment should be developed with equanimity, in which all worldly material interest fades completely, and equanimity should be developed further. So this is the place that you are going to start your meditation. So there is this butcher or butcher's apprentices, what he is actually doing, and there is a dog, and then take a bone with some sort of flesh, you remove the whole flesh and then throw the bone to the poor dog. So that dog is not thinking twice, is straight away running and taking this bone, and then it is biting it. What happened? The hunger will not go away, and it started bleeding. You know, the teeth are damaging, and then it's starting bleeding. So Buddha was comparing these sensual desires to a fleshless bone. So then what you need to do, you put your mind over here to the spot where that killing, that butcher is you, nobody else. You know that when you were planting these flower pots and so on, trees and so on, then you were killing these little animals. So then consider you are the butcher. Butcher is not so somebody else. And then you put a bone over here for the meditation. Physical nutriment is the bone. And then you spin that one with the barb of lust. And by doing that one, this is by doing killing, where would you be born? You would be born in the birth is in hell. So you are actually now thinking, is it befitting for me to go to hell for a fleshless bone, wouldn't it be better for me to give up my desire and attachment for killing? Now you consider this one as a fast action. You know, this meditation even a farmer can do. You know, when the farmer was actually farming, that you know, it was killing these little insects and so on. Now, if a farmer is here now at this particular moment in the meditation session, then is he a farmer? He is not a farmer. And so at this particular moment, he might give up killing. And then if he were to die at this moment, then he would be either go to Nibbana or he might go to Brahma world. He is not going to go back to, you know, farming again or killing again. Live this present moment. We do not know how long we are going to live. We might die at this particular moment. Our problem is when we are entering to the meditation hall, we are thinking, you know, I am coming here, then I am going back. We never know. You know, the death can occur any time, heart attack, you know, then and so on. So live this particular moment. Buddha taught us that sort of a technique. You know, he said that on the full moon day, you come and practice virtue. So, you know, that was the technique. So maybe you were doing bad things before, but this particular moment, and you have given up that one. So since because you have the virtue, then you are not going to hell, isn't it? So, and then over here, it says about three kind of equanimity, you know, that the various kind of, it says that with right wisdom, you should be seeing that that various kind of equanimity is there, and then the single equanimity, and then the ending of the all the attachment to, in other words, the ending of things means that you are going to Nibbana. And over here, Buddha mentioned this one in short. The lengthy description of this one is in the Salayatana Vibhanga Sutta, in middle and saying. And then over here, there Buddha is saying, and there are this, the householder has got joy. What is the householder's joy? That is when he, you know, buy something from the stock market, he got some sort of a gain, and his salary was increased, and because of the gain, there is a joy. And there is this renunciation joy as well. Someone is thinking all these things are impermanent, subject to suffering and so on. Then that person can go into this dhyana concentration. Remember I said that when I close my eyes, I feel my eyeballs, eyelids, and then the forehead, and then the whole area become pleasurable. So for me to have this one, I don't need the stock market or any gains over here. If you develop your faculties, you can arrive at such position, such a state anytime. So that is this renunciation joy that you can reach this third jhana level. And then householder has got distress. Householder's distress is the stock market is fallen, you know, then your chair is broken, your car tire has got a puncture or something, and then you have the distress. And there is this renunciation distress. The renunciation distress is here a monk is thinking, you know, that those arahants today are enjoying really good happy life, and when can I reach that level? So that one is really good one, isn't it, compared to the householder's distress. That person is thinking my chair is broken. This person is thinking when can I become a noble, you know, arahant. Normally people see that whatever the distress is, then it is bad and it is producing unskilled states. But Petagopadesa says if you have something towards Nibbana, then it is not unskilled. It is a sort of a skilled thing. And then we have this household equanimity. Household equanimity is that you are sitting down on a chair. It is neither comfortable nor uncomfortable. You just, you know, sit down over there. If you were to afford a comfortable chair, you go and grab that one. Then there is this renunciation equanimity. What is the renunciation equanimity? Here a monk, aloof from the sensual pressures, aloof from unskilled state of the mind, enter and abide in the first jhana concentration, which is rapturous, and with the initial application and sustained application. So the initial application, sustained application, is the thought of renunciation, thought of non-malevolence, and thought of non-harm. So for the thought of renunciation, you are looking at these 32 parts of the body and urine, excrement, and so on. And then your mind tend to get out of that one. So when you are released from that, then you get the rapture from here, from the head. And or it can happen from your fingers as well. So now there is this rapture. He is happy with the rapture. But the problem is, to have this rapture, you need to the contemplate about 32 parts. Here I have the body, nails, teeth, and so on. That is the price you have to pay. So this person doesn't want to do that one, then he has no choice other than the remembering this one very well. You know, that is, whenever you say urine, then you consider these are the, you know, the same boat. Hair is also in the same boat of urine and excrement. So then without initial application, sustained application about the body, that you can actually go into the second jhana concentration, which is rapturous. And there's a problem in this one. We see a peril of this second jhana as well, because the rapture you feel physically. You know, sometimes it's starting from your leg area as well, and the whole body is rapturous. So if something is, if you feel physically, then you can get attached to it. Having seen this danger, he want to get out of this rapture. So fading away of rapture, then he is go and abiding in the third jhana concentration, and which is pleasurable. And so that is the pleasure I was talking about, when I close my eyes and so on, that I get this pleasure. This pleasure become increased when you understand the dependent origination. You know, it has got 12 links. You know, because of the ignorance, these volitional formations come to be. From the volitional formation, consciousness come to be. More and more you understand on those things, this dependent origination, then the rapture, the pleasure become increased. But here there is a problem as well. We are saying it is pleasurable, but what is there in the world? It is suffering. So then you understand this pleasure is a temporary thing. The actuality, the suffering, now will come to arise. So then you get the equanimity, because you are thinking this one will going to die in a little while. Therefore, you get the equanimity for that feeling. So then you giving up this the pleasure and the displeasure both, and then you are going into the fourth jhana concentration. So the fourth jhana concentration is stable. So that is the equanimity we are talking about. That is the renunciation equanimity. Now let us take these three things. Householder has got to left hand. The householder's joy is there. Householder's distress. Householder's equanimity. And then let me take to the right hand the renunciation joy, renunciation distress, renunciation equanimity. Now Buddha is saying, because of this, you give up this. That is, because of the renunciation joy, you give up the householder's joy. Householder's joy is because the stock market has gone up, and you are happy with that one. And but you are playing with somebody else's toy. You know that stock market is going up and down depending on how the company is playing, isn't it? So rather than playing with the somebody else's toys, you actually use your own thing. That, you know, you develop your faculties, you close your eyes, then you get this happiness. So for the stock market, you have to wait for 7 months or so to go up and sort of thing. Over here, instantly you can have it. So this one is better. Therefore, because of the renunciation joy, you give up the householder's joy. And then the householder has got the distress, stock market, you know, fallen or something like that, and chair is broken. The renunciation distress is that when can I become an arahant? So this one is a noble one. This one is a good one. So therefore you give up this householder's distress because of the renunciation distress. And the householder got the equanimity, that is, you are sitting down on a chair, it does not exceed the chair. But the renunciation equanimity, fourth jhana concentration, and it is actually stable. And it does exceed every chair. So therefore, since this one is good, you give up the the householder's equanimity. So now you can see you have taken out the left hand, isn't it, the householder's part. Now you left with the renunciation thing. So now Buddha ordered this one as well. Buddha is saying, rather than having the renunciation distress, when can I become arahant, you leave that one out and you go into renunciation joy. That the renunciation joy is that the third jhana. Why Buddha is saying that? You see, you are going to the Nibbana not from unhappiness. You are going to Nibbana with happiness. The sukha, the pleasure should be there. The trick is to arrive at that pleasure, you got to contemplate the suffering part. That is the trick. So you are going to this pleasure thing. And then Buddha is saying this is not stable. You see, if you fall from the pleasure, the other side is displeasure. If the other side of the displeasure is pleasure. So in the fourth jhana, we have given up pleasure as well as displeasure. So therefore it is stable. So now you give up the renunciation pleasure as well, the joy as well. Now we come to the one point over here. But this equanimity is six kinds. You cease from the I and the form, then the I consciousness, then you get a equanimity regarding that one. Ear and the sound, ear consciousness, and there is equanimity regarding that. It is like maintaining six houses. And wouldn't be easier for us to maintain one house. So that one house is space is infinite. There is only one perception. That is the fifth jhana. So Buddha did not stop over there. Buddha took you from the space is infinite, from the fifth jhana to the sixth jhana, and sixth jhana to the seventh jhana, plane of nothing, and then beyond that one, this eighth jhana. The having reached that one, and then you go to the cessation of feeling and perception as well. And then Buddha said that all these things are constructed. You know, the jhana concentration, all those things are constructed. Buddha used this word called atamyata. Atamyata means is not made of thatness. The Nibbana is not made of anything. So the Nibbana is the best thing. So therefore you are giving up all the other things. You see, Buddha is taking you from one to another. You know, one toy, we are playing with the stock market, and you got the best one, you know, going to the jhana and so on. And after that one, Buddha is saying, give up all these things and attain Nibbana. That is what is mentioned over here in short. So the, you know, that various kind of equanimity to one point nuts in equanimity, that is space is infinite, and then beyond that one, and you are going to the Nibbana. So then this particular one should have a link into this killing, isn't it? There is. What is that relationship? The relationship is that, you know, when you are killing, you are taking a long breath. Without taking a long breath, you can't, you know, think about killing or stabbing an animal. So if you are not doing the killing, then you are not breathing to think that I will kill. You are not breathing to lift up a knife or something. So in other words, the cessation of inhaling and exhaling. And with that one, you reach the fourth jhana concentration. And then from that one, you are going to Nibbana. So you can see from one particular example, one particular thing over here, the Dhamma, Buddha took you to Nibbana. That is, you understand, yesterday we learned, if you are killing, you are stealing as well. You know, if you are killing chicken, you are taking it meat as well. So if you are not doing that one, they are linked to each other. So everything will cease in that case. And this one also actually a step. A step is this one. What is the step? You see that the dog, as soon as the butcher put that bone, it was not thinking. Straight away it was running and taking the bone, because there is a competition, other dogs are there as well, isn't it? And it was not thinking whether there is pressure or not. We are like that one, you know, when we actually see someone, straight away we take it as beautiful. From that person, you didn't get anything. You didn't get anything to eat, you fill up your stomach or anything. Even the wind did not come in your direction. So what is happening is, when we are seeing someone, they, from the body type of misapprehension, we get that idea about fair or the beauty. Perception of beauty is coming straight away, entering the body type of insistence that this is true. And this is the first round, first step. That's what it is. So one example over here is that when you are, you know, going in a car, having seen a tree, you are saying, ah, this tree is beautiful. And then let us say you stop the vehicle and then look at the tree. Then you can see, you know, this, it is dirty, you know, that the creatures have done their job, and then the leaves are, you know, split and so on. And now you are not saying it is good. Our problem is we are running the vehicle. Our wheels are rotating. So when we look at something, straight away we take the dishonest beauty. So that is our problem. So the next one, so we learn the first meditation over here. Remember that you are the butcher, you put a fleshless bone over here, and then you spin with the barb of lust, and where you will be ending up. But because you are killing, you are ending up with the hell. So then you are thinking, is it befitting for me to go to hell? This for a fleshless bone, wouldn't it be better for me to give up my desire and attachment for killing? Consider this one as a past action. You know, the day before yesterday or whatever, that you were planting some trees or something, then you kill, that you are the butcher. Now today, at this moment, you don't. And you do not know the future, because you might die right over here. So live this moment and give up your desire and attachment to the past action. Householder, a vulture, a crow or hawk would snatch a piece of flesh and would fly away with it. Another crow, hawk or vulture, seeing it, would pursue it, follow it and snatch the piece of flesh. Householder, if that vulture or crow or hawk does not give up that piece of flesh, would he come to death or the deathly unpleasantness? He would, venerable sir. In the same manner, the noble disciple reflects, the Blessed One said that sensual desires are comparable to a piece of flesh that brings much unpleasantness, trouble and danger. This should be seen with equanimity and right wisdom as it really is, and the various interests should be turned out, and then we should be going to the Nibbana. So this one example was given for this stealing. Let us say eagle, or you know, some sort of a creature, hawk, take a piece of meat, and then it is flying with it, and then other hawks are, you know, following and then trying to hit this one and take this flesh out of that hawk. So what would happen if that hawk is not giving up, the others are hitting, and then that hawk might end up in the death. So it is like the same for us. If we take anything apart from the Nibbana, then what we can expect is the death or deathly unpleasantness, because your consciousness is getting established on those things, and then dependent origination will occur, and existence as condition, birth come to be. So why we are saying this is the example for this stealing? Let us say you have a hawk in your house and in a cage, and then if you give a piece of meat, and nobody is actually going to attack that hawk, so that the piece of meat that hawk was actually taking from somewhere else, that's why it is stealing. So now here you are thinking that you are the person who is stealing. In other words, you know, about 3 or 4 days ago that you were going to work. So going to work, as we discussed this morning, considered as stealing. And so you are the person who was doing that one. And then you put a piece of meat over here as the physical nutriment. And then that you are spinning with the barb of lust. And when you do that one, then where would you be born? Because you are stealing, you will be born in hell or animal realm. So then you are thinking, is it befitting for me to go to hell because of a piece of meat? Wouldn't it be better for me to give up my desire and attachment for stealing? You see, you went to work a few days ago, not now. Do we have a job right now? Some people sort of think that, yes, I have a job. I actually put the leave and came over here. But without you knowing, in your office, they might have written your letter. You know, you are fired. They may have done it. Let us say your boss is here in the group and boss is saying, no, I haven't fired you yet. But he does not know. Probably boss might have been fired as well. Even that boss is saying this one. Now let us, we are living in this particular moment. Now if you give up the stealing part right now in the meditation, if you die, then you might go to Nibbana or you might go to, you know, the Brahma world. Are you actually going back to the, in that case, you are not going back to work, not to the stealing. So live this particular moment and consider this as a fast action. You know, remember there is no engineer, no doctor, no one here. Like, you know, you don't have any title. You are just a person who is doing meditation. So that is the second meditation. And then again, to Sunday afternoon, you are getting a long breath that tomorrow I have to go to work. Now you are not, since you are not going to stealing, therefore you are not going to take a long breath. So with the cessation of inhaling and exhaling, then you read the fourth jhana concentration, and from that one you go to the space is infinite level, and then go to the Nibbana. The stealing is actually belonging to the second round, second step. That is what is happening over there, is that you get the idea about permanency. You know why you are getting the permanency from the stealing? Because of the job you can live, isn't it? Otherwise, you can't buy the rotten mango, whatever it is. So you get the idea about permanency from the stealing. So we learn two meditations now. And then the third one, householder, a man with a blazing grass torch, would go against the wind. Householder, if that man does not give up that blazing grass torch, wouldn't he burn his hand or arm or any other limb, small or large? Wouldn't he come to death or deathly unpleasantness? He would venerable sir. In the same manner, the noble disciple reflects, the Blessed One has said that sensual desires are comparable to a blazing grass torch that brings much unpleasantness, trouble and danger. This should be seen with equanimity and right wisdom as it really is. And the various interests should be turned out, and then you should be going to the Nibbana. So this example was given for this line part over here. And let us say that someone is having a grass torch, and so it is burning, and then in front of him then some wind is coming. What will happen? Because of the wind and this person's limbs, you know, arm or whatever thing, will be burned. So what is this wind? What is the grass torch? The wind is that, you know, the Four Noble Truths. That is what is coming up. So what is this grass torch? To understand this grass torch, I can tell you that in Sri Lanka, there was this war. And so by that time, here and there, bombs are, you know, going on. And over here also, you know, time to time, you can see bombs are going on. Various parts of the world. So Let us say that your son or daughter is in Colombo area, particular city, and then and your husband is working one place, mother is working another place, and then they hear that the bomb went in Colombo. When that happened, mother would be, you know, giving a call to the teacher and asking, is my son or daughter living? And then husband will give a call to a wife or wife to the husband and then ask, you know, each other whether they are living. So, but you can see there are bombs going on in Afghanistan that you are not getting burnt, isn't it? But when, why it is getting burnt over here? It is because that my son is there. You know, if your son is in Colombo and the bomb is went in, you know, Kandy or whatever in other part of Sri Lanka, you don't care. You know, you care in a certain way, but not you are not getting burnt. Because by taking this son as mine, daughter as mine, we are getting burnt. So we were getting burnt before in the past, and we are getting burnt right now. And if we don't give up this grass torch, then we'll be burnt in the future as well. So now for the meditation part, what you do, you put a grass torch over here as the physical neutron. And then you spin this one with the barb of lust. And where would you be born? You will be born, because you are lying, you will be born in hell or animal realm. So then you are actually asking yourself, is it befitting for me to go to hell or animal realm? Would it be better for me to give up this grass torch? What is the torch for? You see, physical nutriment, you can eat the bone, you can eat the flesh. But what is the grass torch for? Torch is for looking for the bone and the flesh, isn't it? Night time, you put your vehicle's light and they are going to supermarket. So that is the torch over there. So you are looking for bone and flesh. So is it befitting for me to go? Let me give up my desire and attachment for lying. So as we mentioned, that lying is over here is because of that you taking your leg as mine and so on, isn't it? That is one way to look at. So for that giving up lying, then there is a good meditation for that. Remember you did meditation yesterday, last meditation, that this one, that you are saying the excrement outside is the element of extension, it is not mine. Excrement inside is also the element of extension. And it is the element of extension, whether internal or external. If the outside one is not mine, inside one is not mine. So you cleanse your mind from the element of extension. So the hair of the body, all those things you remove, whether it is internal or external, then you get rid of the element of extension. And then the element of cohesion, remember the urine outside is the element of cohesion and it is not mine. And the urine inside also element of cohesion and it is not mine, so you cleanse your mind. So similarly, element of motion and element of heat. So when you get rid of all those things, then you reach that who he is killed, abandon evil things. So now you are in the fifth jhana or above. The space is infinite, so you have come to the one pointness of concentration. Now you focus your mind to Nibbana, determination for truth. And then you are giving up these tendencies, latent tendencies, and then you reach the Nibbana. With the exhaustion of lust, hate and delusion, he attains complete extinction. So that you can see one pointness of the concentration and then the single level concentration to Nibbana. So that is the meditation you should be doing at that particular time. Now this I can show you some sort of relationship over here as well. This is the third round, third step, that you are taking it as pleasure, you know, lying part. Remember that mango, you take the rotten mango, you earn quite a lot of money, pay quite lot of pills, and then you end up with $10, and you took a rotten mango and cut down the rotten part and then eat, and you are saying it's pleasurable. Remember that wind is flowing, isn't it? What was the wind? Wind is the Four Noble Truth. While Buddha is saying it is suffering, we are saying, no, no, Buddha, when I cut down this mango then and eat it, it is pleasurable. Remember yesterday we learned, so the perception of beauty, and then you add the perception of permanency, then you get the perception of pleasure. Remember that part? Beauty, at the permanency, you get the pleasure. Isn't that these things are there here? Because killing, it says beauty. At once, in a first step, body tie of misapprehension, we are getting this one as beauty. And then you add this, the stealing part, that means you get the permanency. Because of the job, you get the permanency. And then adding them together, what you get is the pleasure. And it is a lie over here. So they are linked to each other as well. And then fourth one, householder, there is a pit of charcoal to the height of a man, free of smoke and flames. A man who likes pleasantness, wants to live, comes alone, and two strong men take him by his hands and feet and drag him along to that pit of charcoal. Householder, wouldn't this body writhe to get away from it? And what is the reason? Venerable sir, he knows, if I fall into this pit of charcoal, I will come to death or deathly unpleasantness. In the same manner, the noble disciple reflects, the Blessed One has said that sensual desires are comparable to a burning pit of charcoal that bring much unpleasantness, trouble and danger. This should be seen with equanimity and right wisdom as it really is, and the various interests should be turned out, and then you should be going to Nibbana. So this one was said for the slander part over here. So here there is a man who want to have the pleasantness, he is looking for happiness, and there is a bit of charcoal, and there amber is inside it, so to the height of this man. So two people are dragging this person to the charcoal pit. So he's twisting his body to get rid of it. So who are these two men? To understand that one, remember this disparaging part we discuss on the first day. And then I am trying to separate my friend from the new friend. So I could have given both of them, but I want to keep the first friend because he's an departmental head or something. So that is my craving. So you can see, we remember we mark craving next to the feeling. So the craving is the one taking you from this arm over here, and then you want to separate that new friend from my old friend, and you want to maintain it. So that is your volition. So the volition is dragging you from the other arm. Those are the two people. How did I see in my meditation at this particular time? What I saw was that a man, you know, he's begging, you know, something is in hand. He's saying, please sir, let me have the pleasure from this particular form. It's like that, you know, you earn quite a lot of money and pay quite a lot of bills, and then save $10, and then you went to this the rotten mango dealer, and then asking him, please sir, give me this pleasure from this mango. So in other words, this feeling is entering to the misapprehension from the left side, and then in the meditation you map that one to the lying part. Because you are saying it's pleasurable, isn't it? Mango eating is pleasurable, while Buddha is saying it is suffering. So, and then I saw these volitional formations are entering misapprehension as permanent. So you need to map that one to the stealing part. Because from the stealing, you can actually get the mango, isn't it? Because you are doing the job. So permanency, volitional formations are permanent. So just think this one as a sort of a boat, and then you are rowing the boat. So for the boat, you have these two handles over here to row the boat. And then you can see that normally when you are rowing a boat, it is actually going forward. But the way you row this boat, it is that it is the same spot. It is, you know, circling in the same spot, like you are getting burned in this one. So that is the meditation part over here. For you to sort of understand this one a little bit further, I will give you an example. Let us say someone here going to work far away place, a lady, and then this lady is saying that I can't do more than this one, you know. When I go to office, that I have to do that work. When I go home, I have this work in the house, and then I have to look after children and home, their homework and so on. I am up to this level, nose level. I can't do more than this one. Then unfortunately, that her boss is retired. And then she is saying, now I'm going to apply. No, I'm up to this level. I can't do more. And then a couple of days later, one of her friends are coming and then, you know, hitting her and saying, do you know who is going to apply for this job? Your enemy. And now she is saying, how come that she can't even do that job? How can she do this one? And so if she is becoming my boss, then I will have to do my work and her work as well. And then the other lady is saying, that's what we are saying, you are good at this job, so you apply. So then he take a long breath and, you know, decide, okay, then I will do that. And then you can see that last day you have to have a CV, you know, application you have to put over there. So tomorrow you have to, that's the deadline, so today you have to do at least. So night time, now this lady is actually going there to write the application. And then the son is coming, you know, mom, although I ate, I am still hungry. And then the daughter is coming, mom, how can I do this homework? Now she is burning, isn't it? Because if you don't put the application before tomorrow, then the enemy will become the boss, and then you have to do more work. And on the other hand, if I don't help my daughter, she might fail the exam, and then the people will blame me. You look after yourself, you didn't look after your child. My husband will blame me as well. So she is burning, isn't it? So that will help you to sort of understand this one. So you, what is the meditation? You are mapping, you know, feeling entering. That is begging the feeling I was talking about. You beg the feeling. So you map this feeling part, entering the misapprehension from the left side, and you map that onto the line part. And having eaten the mango, you are saying pleasurable. And then volitional formations are entering the misapprehension as permanent. Now you map that one to stealing part. Because I am stealing, then I can eat a mango. So if this is a boat, then you know, you have these two handles to row the boat, and then you know, it is actually the same spot you are burning. So that is the meditation for that part. And then the number five is the householder man in his dreams. Would see delightful monuments, forest, flat lands and ponds. When he wakes, he would not see any of them. In the same manner, the noble disciple reflects. The blessed one has said that sensual desires are comparable to a dream. It brings much unpleasantness, trouble and danger. This should be seen with equanimity and right wisdom as it really is, and the various interests should be turned out. A single interest and attachment should be developed with the equanimity, and you should be attaining the Nibbana. So this example Buddha is giving for the coveting and greed. So here someone is sleeping, and then saw sort of a dream, and that he is actually sleeping on a good bed, and then you know, the ponds are there, a palace or something like that. And then he wakes up, he see nothing. He's still sleeping on that rotten bed. So the coveting and greed are sort of compared to a dream. It is a dream, isn't it? Take your whole life. And you know, when you are small, that you know, you have this various trouble going to school and studying, and you know, bullying and harassment was there. And also that remember that because of the bullying and harassment, people jump out of buildings and die as well. And then you studied, and then you know, work hard. If you get a job, then it's okay, otherwise it is suffering. And then let us say you got the job, and then you know, people are saying, do this, do that, otherwise we are going to throw you out of the job. And then you thought that my problem is I don't have a house. You constructed a house, and then the insects are biting your house. Neighbor is coming to fight with you as well. And then you were thinking, my problem is I don't have a wife or husband. Then you found one. Then those who found, they know whether it is right or wrong, because some people, wife, husband, spouse has already died. And then you thought, okay, my problem is we don't have a baby. So then you are taking an injection or something, then have a baby. Now you can't even sleep. You have to look after the baby every 2 hours. You have to feed and so on. And then what happened, that you thought that when the baby is about 18 years old or so, standing on their feet, then it is okay. But you couldn't even sleep because of the 18-year-old baby. Remember that example, that that person has gone to uni. And then again, that 18-year-old baby is now 40 years old, and that baby got babies as well. So then you looking after the baby's baby, and you are back bended, and then you are dying. That is your life. You just recall the whole life so far in your life, and then see what was the happiness. The whole suffering is over there. And then this meditation is very powerful at this particular point. And we are here, we are talking about as a future, because your dream is for the future. Remember 1, 2, 3, killing, stealing, lying, past actions. The slander, that is the present at this moment. And the coveting and greed we consider as the future. Now here, remember we mark sensual desire over here between physical nutriment and coveting and greed. So if you extend that line, what you see, that is aging. So your sensual desire then has been for aging. And if you have the desire for aging, then certainly you can expect the rest, that the sickness and death. And that is what you like, isn't it? And between the birth and coveting and greed, we have delight. That means you want to be born again. That is the delight. For what? What is there in the coveting and greed between feeling? That is the stinginess regarding the gain. That rotten mango. That's what it is. For that one, that we are doing this. So if you, this one is not a small meditation. And if you do this one properly, this Sampati Mahabrahma says is the ending point is that the third noble truth, that the cessation of all the cravings over here. So very powerful meditation. First you think about your whole life, and then you see it's a dream, and then go through this path over here. Three things over here, the sensual desire, and if you extend that one, is going to aging. So your sensual desire is for aging. If you like aging, then you like the sickness and death. And what is over here between birth and mourning is the delight. Delight means you want to be born again. For what? Just for this the rotten mango, isn't it? The stinginess regarding the game. That's what it is. And this one is really nice. It is saying that when he gets up, when he wakes up, he did not see anything. You know, it's just a dream. So, you know, you sleep means the death. You wake up means you got another birth. So one would be thinking, you know, if I die and get up, then I will wake up, die and, you know, be born. Then I will get a better one. And what Buddha is saying, no, you don't get. You know, if you die today, then you are going to be human. Let us say you are going to be a human being. Then you are actually getting a form. You know, there is a sample over here. You are saying my one is not good, and then you are going to pick up one of the other bodies over here, isn't it? Like a form. And you can ask all the other people here, are you actually happy? None is happy. If you are happy, you don't have to be here. So you can see we are all are suffering. And one person told me long time ago, you know, this particular birth is not good for him. He got a job. Job is not good. He got a house. House is not good. And my wife is not good. And son is born. Son is not good either. So he was thinking that let us hope for next birth. You know, even if you die and be born, it would be the same. That's what Buddha is saying. So that is this the fifth one. And then the sixth one is a householder, a man who had borrowed some earrings and fashionable ornaments, would deck himself in them and would go to the bazaar. People seeing him would say, looks like a rich man. When the owners see him, they would take their belongings. Householder, wouldn't that man be better in his own appearance? He would be better, Venerable Sir. In the same manner, the noble disciple reflects, the Blessed One has said that sensual desires are comparable to borrowed things that brings much unpleasantness, trouble and danger. They should be seen with equanimity and right wisdom as it really is. And the various interests should be turned out, and then one should be going further and go to the Nibbana. So this example was given for insult with anger. The here you borrow some earrings or car or something from someone, Ben's car or something, and then you go to a you know, shopping complex or bazaar, and then people having seen your earring or there, they are saying, oh, looks like a rich man. And then the owner is there, so then owner is saying, give it back to me. So in front of the other people. So then this person is upset about it. So that is insult with anger. I will tell you in a moment how to do the meditation. That meditation part you have already done. This one has got a further meaning. The deep meaning, so I will give a couple of more examples. That you know, the grandma. How is the grandma in Sri Lanka? I'm saying, how is she actually going to the wedding? What she would be doing is she will take a very expensive sari and covering up the body. And then whatever thing open in the body, then she would be putting these, you know, bangles and sort of things, golden ones, and covering that part. And then the neck part, then she would be using a necklace, a gold necklace. How the young one is going? That person would be showing the skin and putting a very, you know, thing some sort of a string around it, you know, so a golden ornament. So now grandma is in the wedding, and then people come into the wedding. They are saying that, oh, grandma, nice sari. That's what they say. And they did not say grandma is nice or beautiful. They say sari. So grandma is, when they are touching the sari and so on, they say, she is saying that my son bought this one for me. Where is your son? Son is in America. So now they are talking about son. And then they are coming to the necklace area. Oh, really nice necklace. And then this grandma is saying, my daughter bought this one for me. Where is your daughter? My daughter is in UK, England. So then you are talking about the daughter. Now you see the grandma has got a good thing over there. You know, if she was actually wearing, you know, rags or whatever thing, people are not actually talking either. And now they are, she got a good thing over there, good company. And then, you know, in those weddings, that AI is not that good. And I'm telling you this one I saw in a very reputable hotel in Sri Lanka in early days, in Colombo area. So then this grandma is going to, you know, going to faint. And then other people are saying, you know, those things that you tighten around your body, let us loosen that one. So grandma said, no, no, I'm fine. But she's going to collapse to the other side, to removing it. When you do that one, what do you see? The wrinkled body. So that is the part that you are actually trying to cover it up. That she is actually delighted about the form and uplift the mind with this conceit. That's what is she actually doing. That grandma is not my grandma. I can tell you my grandfather's story. And my grandfather was sort of living 100 years. And all the others are actually going to the wedding. And my grandpa with a, you know, stick in his hand, he's not getting dressed. And I was asking, aren't you going to wedding? My grandpa was saying, people are going to wedding to be happy. No one will be happy seeing my body, wrinkled body. So he understands that, you know, that nature in that sense. But the grandma has to go to wedding because of children, you know, their children are getting married or whatever it is. Granddaughters, grandsons and so on. So, not only the grandma did this one, I saw thing in when I was in UK, I saw about 12-year-old boy after the school. He was upset, and then his father is asking, why are you upset? And he said, the girls are not looking at me. And then father gave a good advice and used the collar, you know, up over here like that one. And then and then next day when he was going to school and girls are looking at him and say, hi Scott, because this is an unusual thing to wear it that way, collar is up. And then so when they look at, they can't look the other way around, they say, hi Scott, and so on, so this person become happy. So what is this child actually was doing? Remember yesterday morning we learned that you are coming to the mother's womb to have a sort of a woman's pleasure. And then you got that woman's pressure for about 2 or 3 years, that, you know, good food, soft milk and so on. What happened after 4 years, that, you know, mother got another baby. And then when you are 10 or 12 years and mother is not touching you that much. So now this boy is thinking, you know, I came here thinking this is a pleasurable world. Now a girl is not even looking at me. So this one has got a big, big meaning in the sense that, you know, from the birth to feeling, there is this feeling part you are looking for. And this is the sixth round, sixth step, this insult with anger. There is this underlying tendency to view coming from the bhayagati, that going bad way through fear. And if you extend that line, it says the physical nutriment is pleasurable. That's what it is. So that is the deeper meaning in it. So how do you do the meditation? So we told you about the grandma's example as the child's example. So let us take the Buddha's example. You put an earring over here, or Ben's car as a physical nutriment. And then you look at the cause and conditions over here. Remember that the perception of beauty, perception of pleasure, and the self that you are actually looking at in this meditation. This diagram, you remember, Halitakani Sutta, you are using perception of beauty. How do we get the beauty part over here? The beauty part is actually triggering from the killing over here. You know, the first step, as soon as you see someone, you say is beauty, like that one. So the ornament is there, then you get the beauty. And then you have the stealing part over here, which is not marked in this diagram. So that stealing part at the permanency to it. So beauty at the permanency, then you get the pleasure. That is the third one, is in this line. Having eaten the rotten mango, you say this one is pleasurable. And then from the pleasure, you get the perception of self. Remember, you define life, you know, this is what I'm going to do. And then you have a plan, then it go through the self theory clinging. And you do one of these things like lying, half speech. But if you die at the adherence's point, then you are going to hell or animal realm. So that is the part that you should do in that meditation. But you can actually see there is a linking over here. From the right side, the killing, link into this beauty part, that stealing, lead to the permanency part, and then adding them together, you get the pleasure. That is the third one. And then when you take the self, only when you take something as self, then you get that one as a gain. So then you get the coveting and greed for that one. So the right side Dhamma is linking with the left side Dhamma as well in this instance. So that is the meditation part for that one. And then next one is that householder goes to a village or hamlet. There is a stretch of dense forest, and in it there is a tree full of fruits. A man in search of fruits come into this tree, and not seeing any fallen on the ground, would climb it and eat as much as he liked. He would fill his sling with some of the fruits, and another man with a sharp dagger or axe or whatever, going in search of fruits, would come to this same tree and not seeing any fruits fallen and not be able to climb the tree, would cut down the tree. Householder, if the man who had climbed the tree and not come down quickly, wouldn't he die or come to deathly unpleasantness, breaking one or the other of his limbs? Yes, Venerable Sir, he would. In the same manner, the noble disciple reflects, the Blessed One has said, sensual desires are comparable to a tree full of fruits. It brings much unpleasantness, trouble and danger. This should be seen with equanimity and right wisdom as it really is. And then we need to go to this single perception level, and then should be attaining the Nibbana. Go to the Nibbana. So this is the seventh round we are talking about. The number six means the sixth round, sixth step. And this is the associate with anger example. So here the seventh meditation. And someone is, that person want to have some fruits, and there aren't any fruits left under the tree. So this person doesn't know how to climb the tree. And having climbed the tree, that he fill up his sling as well, stomach as well as the sling. And then another person is coming, and that person wants fruits, but he does not know how to climb the tree. So he got an axe, and then he's cutting the tree while the other person is on the top of the tree. What would happen? If that person is not climbing down, that person will die, deathly unpleasant. So how to understand these two persons? To understand that one, you put your left hand to the birth, right hand to the physical nutriment. You put your left leg to killing, the right leg to stealing. Where is your stomach? Stomach is the body type of misapprehension. And that is the one you are filling up with the fruits and so on. And then there is third person, a second person is coming. Who is the second person? You see, if you have a diabetic and if you keep on eating, you know, the mango, sweet mango, what will happen? Then you will die. So who is coming to kill you? That is your sickness. That is the second person. So how do you do the meditation? Here for the physical nutriment, you put a fruit over here and then you spin with the barb of lust. So when you spin the barb of lust for the fruit, where can you be born? You still can go to hell, but remember, this person gave up killing, stealing, lying, slander, coveting and greed, insult with anger. All those things has been given up, so therefore he is a good person. So let us say he was fortunate enough to be born as a human being. Now, what has happened to you now? You were subject to aging, isn't it? Wrinkled body and so on. And then you need to thoroughly admit it. You know, I am already, you know, in that particular wrinkled body. Even you are young, you need to think that way. So then what will happen? Then you will understand what will happen to my grandma, grandfather, sickness and death. So previously you had a birth and you could not live with that one, and that is why you have this birth. And this one is also subject to aging and then sickness and death. So I can't live with this fruit by eating a fruit. So with this form. So then you actually throw out the fruit. In other words, you are going to the getting rid of the form means formless sphere. No space is infinite and consciousness is infinite level of concentration. So can you actually stay there as well? You can't. Because you might live for, you know, 20 great eons or so, 20,000 great eons or so. But then you will die after that one. So that is this, there is definition of this non-hate. It is that we are thinking that there is something, some sort of a concentration. And then you are thinking that it will last. But no concentration will last. So see, we are in a sort of a slope and everyone is sliding. Then the highest person in this line of the slope is the person who attained to the 8th jhana level. And that person has got the lowest conceit. And then you are on the bottom of this mountain slope. And you have the more conceit, and all the other divine realms, the Brahma realms, are above on this one. But everyone is slipping. You can't stay. You are dying. So then you can understand, I can't live innocently with a fruit, and I can't actually live giving up the fruit. But so if I want to live, and if I cannot live, then what do you have? Associate with anger. Now you can see that you learn first day, because of the hate, you get killing. Because of the killing, you get hate. Now you can see we have come to 7 rounds only, you know, spinning of 7 rounds. And this is the 7th step we are talking about. And so Buddha is actually showing you your whole life, you know, within these 7 rounds. And you are thinking, isn't that in this time period what I do? I do killing and stealing, lying, slander, coveting and greed, insult with anger. And that's what I am doing. So I can't live with the fruit. I can't live throwing away the fruit with a formless fear. So then what should you do? Then don't take anything apart from the Nibbana. So then you get the you can get rid of the associate with anger. And if you come to this level of understanding, then you are in the seventh jhana or above with a noble understanding. You just think, isn't that what I'm doing? I know stealing, lying and all those things. And then Buddha said, householder, the noble disciple, come to this purity of mind through equanimity, recollects the manifold previous births, such as one birth, two births, with all modes and all details, would recollect the various previous births. So to recollect previous births, what you normally have is that you have a desire to know, who am I in the past birth, isn't it? But if you ask that question right now, what would you be saying? You would be saying your name. And that doesn't make any sense, because your mother can put any names. So don't ask that question, who am I? But if someone is asking you that what is the work that you do today, then you can describe, you know, I am doing such and such a work. So what you can actually recall is the volitional formations. So what I did, I went to seventh jhana, concentration. That is the best place to think about the past births. And then I was contemplating what I was doing in my past birth. And then I saw a saw and a wood piece and a hand. And this, you know, the hand is going above that wood piece. The saw is going above the wood piece. That's all I saw. So what does that mean? That means I'm a carpenter. So then I could, I was contemplating what was the meditation I was doing in the past birth. And then I could see, you know, that those little stones underneath these grasses, I could see better than that I see from my eyes. And then I understood that I have perceived the light, perception of light meditation. So as soon as I understood that one, then the whole area became illuminated. Then I could see, you know, the carpenters, the workbench, and then the water is flowing. Water flow was there, and then the house. And then I was constructing this house and so on. So those days I'm going to work. Monday to Friday I go to work. And then Saturday, Sunday, in lengthy detail, I recollect one of my past births. So I have done, recollected about 15 births. Then I was sort of fed up. And Sampati Mahabrahma was there. And then I asked him, I am actually recollecting my past births like watching a movie. What should I do? And then he said, you recollect, you think about your birth, aging, sickness and death. So I started about 15 births backward. Then I was born in such a way, I'm subject to aging, sickness and death. You just go through about 15 of them. You see, the death is really unpleasant. You haven't died right, you know, in this birth. So if you can recall past ones, I could see that, you know, I am dying from snake bite. And then one time the elephants, you know, the logs are falling on my body. And then I'm drowning. And then, you know, the last birth, oxygen mask was there on my face and still dying. So when you recall, collect about 15 births, then you get the idea, I don't want to be born again. You see, in the my last birth, when I see that how I was, you know, subject to aging, you know, that sort of a feeling I had, I haven't got that feeling up to this point, because that I am not I am not subject to that much aging in this birth, but how the consciousness is aware of this one is there. I am not actually asking you to contemplate the past births. If you have time, then you can do so. But when you do that one, what is actually happening to you is that your concentration will go up. Why? Because we are arrogant. We have the conceit. You know, over here you can see everybody is actually driving a car or something. But you go to a very rural area or rural country that they don't have cars, and then you are getting down from your car, and then you know those small children and running around looking at, and then you think, oh, I have a good reputation. When there is inequality, you get that one. I remember, you know, I am a scientist in this birth, and then before recollecting this one, I thought my past birth, I must have been a scientist. And when I saw that I'm a carpenter, I didn't fall from my concentration, but I remember after my meal, after the meditation, after the meal, it was coming to my mind, I'm a carpenter. You see, the conceit that you have is there. So when the conceit is now, when the ourself life form for me, that past life that I was begging as well, there were rich states, rich life and so on. But when you see that one, then you know, your conceit is gone. When the conceit is reduced, then that you get the concentration. And then Buddha said that householder, noble disciple, come to this purity of mind through equanimity. With the heavenly eye purified above human, would see beings disappearing and appearing in unexalted, exalted states. Beautiful, ugly, good and bad states. So for this one to be done, then you need to pursue light. And I'm not going to go into that detail because we are running out of time. And then again says, household, the noble disciple, come to this purity of through equanimity, has released his mind and is released through wisdom and would abide in that release here and now. So in other words, when you are going into this release, you can do that one in the meditation. Tomorrow we are going to show you more about that one. And then your mind becomes stopped and it is not running. At that particular time, Buddha said that we have come to the ending of actions in the noble one's dispensation. So in other words, your bodily action ceased, your verbal action ceased, and now mental action ceased. The car is completely stopped. Then Buddha was asking, do you see that one inside you? And then he says, no sir, I don't have these things. And then he said, it's really good that it's like that you have, it's like an oil lamp was lighted for darkness so that those who have sight would see forms. So then he saying that now I take refuge in the Buddha, the Dhamma and the Sangha. May I be remembered as a lay disciple who has taken refuge from today till life last. So that is the part. So we mentioned how to do the meditation, but let me recall that one. So you are going through those seven examples. Remember that butcher took a piece of meat and then bone, and then remove the flesh out of the bone and then throw the bone to the dog, and dog is coming and licking it, and it will become fatigue. The hunger will not be satisfied. So now you think you are the butcher, that you are the person who was doing killing, because when you are planting trees and so on, that you are killing. And then you put a bone over here for the physical nutriment, then you spin with the barb of lust, and where would you be born? Because you are killing, you will be born in hell or animal realm. Now then you are asking yourself, is it befitting for me to go to hell because of a fleshless bone? Wouldn't it be better for me to give up my desire and attachment for killing? Consider this one as a past action. In the past, you were planting trees and so on that you were killing. Now in this particular moment, you don't. And now you are not going to breathe in to lift up any equipment or something to dig. And so therefore, that the inhaling and exhaling stop. And you go to the fourth jhana concentration. And from that one, you are going to the one-pointness concentration and going to the Nibbana. And then that is the first step. Remember, at that time, as soon as you see someone, you take it as pleasure. That is the step happening as well. And then the second example, stealing one, where the hawk would snatch a piece of flesh and then fly. And then the other hawks are following and then trying to take that piece of meat. So the stealing example, so you put a flesh piece of meat over here as the physical nutriment, and you are the one stealing. So you spin with the barb of lust, and where would you be born? You will be born in hell or animal realm. So now you are thinking, is it befitting for me to go to hell because of a fleshless piece of meat? Wouldn't it be better for me to give up my attachment for stealing? So you don't have a job at this particular moment. So you had that one in the past. So leave this particular moment and give up your desire and attachment for that stealing. So since you are not thinking to go to work, then you are not taking the breath, long breath. So with the cessation of inhaling and exhaling, you reach fourth jhana. From the fourth jhana concentration, you go to Nibbana. And then the third example, that lying example, one is actually carrying a grass torch, and then wind is flowing, and because of the wind that you will be burned. So, and because of this grass torch, we were burned in the past, and we are getting burned now, and if we don't drop it, then we'll be burned in the future as well. So in this particular example, you put a grass torch in the physical nutriment, and then you spin with the barb of lust, and then now you are thinking that I'll be born in hell by doing this lying part. Is it befitting for me to go to hell because of this grass torch? Wouldn't it be better for me to give up my desire and attachment for lying? Again, consider this one as the past action. You know that you were lying, if you take this leg as mine, then it is lying. So now for that one, you have a good meditation. Remember, you are saying excrement outside is not mine. That is the element of extension, excrement inside also the element of extension, and then you cleanse your mind from the element of extension, element of coercion, element of motion, and the element of heat. So then you are going to this the stage where he who is killed abandoned evil things, and then you are in the spaces infinite or above, and then you focus to the Nibbana. Determination for truth, and then you are giving up underlying tendencies, and then you are going to the Nibbana with the exhaustion of lust, hate, delusion. He attains complete extinction. So that is the part of the meditation, and I also actually show you the link between them as well. Killing means you are getting beauty. First step, stealing, you are adding the permanency. When you add the permanency to the beauty, then you get this line part, sukha, pleasure. You eat the rotten mango, you are saying pleasure as well. While the Buddha is saying, the wind is O Noble Truth. So these three are past actions. And for the slander, remember that there was a charcoal pit, and someone wishing for happiness, and that person want to have the pleasure, they is coming, and then two people are dragging that person to the charcoal pit. So this person trying to get away from that one. So who are those people? Your craving and the volition are the one dragging into the charcoal pit. The charcoal pit is about your height. That means it is your charcoal pit, isn't it? So for this one, then Remember that begin the feeling example, that you know, having earned this money and so on, then you are going there asking for, you know, please sir, give me this happiness. So the pleasure is entering the bodhitaya of misapprehension from the left side, and then the volitional formations are entering from the right side to the misapprehension as permanent. So your job is to map these two, you know, the pleasure part because of this lying part over here, isn't it? Eating the rotten mango, for example. By stealing, you got the mango. And then the volitional formation enter in the misapprehension, you map that onto stealing. I can have a mango because I am working. So if this is a boat, then the way you row the boat, then you can see it is rotating on the same spot. And I gave you an example of a person who is going to work an application that you have to put, you know, you are burning. So that is the present moment. So that is the meditation for that one. And then number five, coveting and greed. Remember that someone is sleeping and then saw a dream. And then when he get up, he does not see anything. So for that one, you recollect your life right over here up to this point. And then you see that how much suffering you had, you know, learning, taking the books and studying, teacher is punishing you, your parents are punishing you and so on, and going to work, how much trouble you had. And then, you know, you are old and then you backbencher, bended, and then you are looking after your 40-year-old son or daughter's 40-year-old baby, and then you are dying. And having recollect your life, and then what is there over here, is the sensual desire. If you extend that one, it is aging. That means your sensual desire is for aging. And if you like the aging, then really you like the sickness and death. And what is over here between birth and coveting and greed is the delight. That means you want to be born after death. For what? Because of that stinginess regarding the gain, you know, the rotten mango. That's what it is. So this is a really powerful meditation. So this one is a future action. And then for the insult with anger, remember that someone borrowing an ornament and going to a sort of a shopping complex or someone, people are saying, ah, this is a rich man, and then the owner is taking. So what you need to do, we mentioned about the grandma's example and the small 12-year-old boy's example as well. So you take the Buddha's example, put an ornament over here, earring, a Benz car or something, and then you look at the cause and the condition point of view. And along the way you need to map, because of the killing, then you get the beauty, and then because of the stealing, you get this permanency, add the beauty to permanency, then you get the pleasure. And that is this the meditation you did. So pleasure becomes the self, and then the self, when you take something as self, then you are actually taking it as a gain as well. So coveting and greed. So right side of the Dhamma is linking with the left as well. So you have a plan, going through the self theory clinging, and then you are doing one of these. So lying. So when you die in the adherence spot, then you will be born in hell or animal realm. So that is that part of the meditation. And then the final meditation that associate with anger. And remember that there is a tree with the full of fruits, and then you climb the tree and to take these fruits and eat, then someone is coming underneath and they are trying to cut it down. So that is your sickness is going to kill you. So over here you are putting a fruit as the physical nutriment, and then you spin with the barb of lust. Where would you be born? You still can go to hell, but let us say since you have given up killing, stealing, etc., then you are born as a human being. Now what has happened to you now? That you were subject to aging, and then now you look at your body and I'm already subject to aging. So then what is next? What happened to grandma? Sickness and death. So I could not live with my past form, and then I can't live with this body because it's already subject to aging, and then I will meet the death. So then you actually throw away the fruit. When you throw away the fruit, then you are going to the formless sphere. Space is infinite also. And over there also you can't live. So I can't live innocently eating a fruit. I can't live in the higher jhana realms either. So if I want to live, if I cannot live, then what I have is associated with anger. Now, what you do? Now, you can see, I can't live with this form or the formless sphere. Then don't take anything apart from the Nibbana. So you can see in between what I actually do. I do stealing, lying and all those things. So there are seven rounds, and Buddha has shown you your whole life within seven rounds. And when you come to that one, then if you have 2 minutes or something left, then try to recall what you have been doing in your past birth. The Dhamma is the understanding of the Noble Dhamma is the important part, not the recalling the past birth. Try to contemplate and do in this part. So it is our lunch time.